This is the White House Report podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to the Christian Post, after nearly four decades, the complete Bible is now available in American Sign Language for the first time ever. Deaf Missions, a ministry dedicated to communicating the gospel of Jesus with deaf people through their heart language, culture, and identity, began the project in the early 1980s. In 2016, the mission partnered with Wycliffe USA, American Bible Society, Deaf Bible Society, Deaf Arbor, Door International, Pioneer Bible Translators, and Seed Company to complete the project, according to Mission Network News. The final books needed, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, were completed this fall. Now the entire Bible is available to the world's 70 million people who are deaf for free online through social media and on a smartphone app. The translation was led by people who themselves are deaf and trained in the biblical languages. Roughly 90% of the worldwide population of deaf people have never encountered the real Jesus, notes the Deaf Missions website. What is the number one issue deaf people face when it comes to knowing Jesus? The answer boils down to two words: communication barriers. Deaf Missions President Chad Entinger explained to MNN in an email that the ASL Bible has garnered a tremendous and excited reaction from the U.S. deaf Christian community. According to the Christian Post, a church pastor in India's Maharashtra state was brutally killed by Hindu extremists after suffering years of abuse for his Christian faith amid escalating religious intolerance and violence in the country. Persecution Watchdog International Christian Concern reports that on July 10th, unknown Hindu extremists murdered Pastor Munsi Thado, 35, and left his body in the forest near Badparai village in the Gad Karoli district of Maharashtra state. The Hindus reportedly dragged the pastor from his home, ignoring his wife Rajini's pleas for his life to be spared. In the 5 years preceding his death, Pastor Munsi lived in the forest near Badparai village due to village pressure. Village leaders, angered by Munsi's evangelistic efforts, demanded he recant his Christian faith. When the pastor refused to comply with their demands, he was chased out of the village. Following his ostracism from his community, Munsi, who was part of a Mayas separatist group prior to his conversion to Christianity, continued to evangelize, leading nearly two dozen families to Christ. He was killed because of his faith, life, and ministry to the Adivasi people in the area, one of his colleagues told ICC. He led more than 20 families to Christ in the last 5 years, ever since he was thrown out of the village by some Hindu radicals. India has roughly 66 million Christians out of a total population of approximately 1.36 billion. The country has seen a steady rise in persecution of Christians over the past decade, according to Open Doors USA, which ranks India the 10th most dangerous place to live as a believer. According to the Christian Post, a Christian pastor and Bible translator in Indonesia's easternmost region of Papua was shot and killed in clashes between separatists and the military. Yermaya Zanambani, the pastor of the Gospel Tabernacle Church of Indonesia, GK2, known for translating the Bible into Papua's Moni dialect, was found dead outside his home in the village of Hitadipa in Intan Jaya district on September 19th, UCA News reports. The death of the 67-year-old pastor, who also ran a local high school, was confirmed by GK2 church officials in Jakarta. Reverend Zanambani was shot dead on Saturday afternoon on his way to his pig pen. This is a deep sadness. We're deeply saddened by the loss of a religious leader who served the Moni community so well, GK2 said in a statement on September 20th. The local military commander also confirmed Zanambani's death, claiming he had been killed by a separatist group. The ferocity of these Papuan terrorists continues in Hitadipa, where Jeremiah Zanambani was a victim of the group, said Colonel Gusti Nyoman Suryastawa, head of Regional Command 3. However, another pastor at the church, Timotheus Miagoni, told Reuters that Zanambani's wife had found her husband bleeding in the pigsty and told Miagoni he had been shot by military personnel. According to the Christian Post, Christian leaders are gathering together in the nation's capital to focus on repentance in tumultuous times and what some believe is a Kairos moment in history. Without repentance, we have nothing else. That is the foundation of the order of God in Scripture and in all things, Kevin Jessup, president of Global Strategic Alliance, told the Christian Post. Jessup and several others are assembling in Washington, D.C. this week to pray and cry out to God for revival. Known as a Return, a national and global movement of prayer and repentance, the 10-day event began with the Feast of Trumpets, September 18th, and will end with the Day of Atonement, September 28th. This is also known as the Days of Awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This year, it also coincides with the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower. When people go from rebellion to redemption, there is a process, he explained. First, there's repentance to reconciliation, then restoration, and then comes revival. Jessup believes that a righteous praying remnant of believers has been seeking God for this for many years. I believe God has given us a Kairos moment in time where He affords us the opportunity, and we can't miss this opportunity. We have to come and bow before a holy God in holy reverence, humble ourselves, seek His face, and cry out, "Repent for our sin," he said. As part of the revival, leaders from over 150 nations will be participating in a day of prayer on Saturday. The broadcast will be hosted in over 90 languages in real-time translation. Christian media outlets including CBN, TBN, Daystar, TCT, and God TV will also be broadcast in the event. Featured speakers will include HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson, Evangelist Anne Graham Lotz, Messianic Jewish Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Pro-Life Evangelist Alveda King, Dr. James Dobson, Bishop Harry Jackson, and several others. According to the Christian Post, the Passion of the Christ star, Jim Caviezel, recently shared his new details about the highly anticipated sequel of the blockbuster hit. On Thursday, Caviezel told Breitbart News that he received a new draft of the new installment, The Passion of the Christ. "Mel Gibson just sent me the third picture, the third draft, it's coming," he said on the latest edition of SiriusXM's Breitbart News Daily with host Alex Marlowe. Caviezel, who portrayed Jesus in 2004, for the film, went on to share the sequel's film title. Caviezel said, "It's called The Passion of the Christ, Resurrection. It's going to be the biggest film in world history." Despite its lack of industry support, the first film earned a staggering $612 million worldwide with a production budget of just $30 million. According to Daily Mail, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has released guidelines for Americans celebrating Halloween during the coronavirus pandemic. In the recommendations published on Monday, the CDC advised against trick-or-treating, attending a costume party, or going to an indoor haunted house. A statement on the website reads, "Many traditional Halloween activities can be high risk for spreading viruses. There are several safer alternative ways to participate in Halloween. The new guidance grouped activities for October 31st as either low risk, moderate risk, and high risk. Among low-risk activities, the CDC suggests carving pumpkins or decorating your home in a spooky theme. To limit face-to-face interaction, also recommended is a virtual costume contest or having a Halloween movie night with household members. Experts note that costume masks should not be substituted for cloth masks because they are not as protective. According to Business Insider, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is weeks away from opening the doors to his first preschool, the Bezos Academy. Bezos on Tuesday shared a photo of one of the classrooms on his Instagram, revealing that the school, which is located in Des Moines, Washington, will open on October 19. Bezos said the school is the first of many free preschools that will be opening for underserved children. Bezos Academy is a Montessori-inspired preschool that will serve children between ages 3 and 5. The schools will be full day and year-round and will be tuition-free for its students. According to a post on the Bezos Academy Instagram account, the team began working on the schools early last year. Other posts from the village, which began posting photos in August, show Bezos touring Montessori schools around the country, meeting with students in Nashville and Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.